Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Glad to have you here with us.
20 years ago, commonly referred to as Boobgate. Janet Jackson.
Is that
Justin,
today?
Justin Timberlake. Super Bowl fiasco. Do you think that was planned, or do you think that was actually a wardrobe malfunction?
I'm sure it was planned.
She was wearing something over her boobie. So I think the whole thing was planned. And then as soon as everybody started screaming bloody murder, Timberlake's like, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't know anything about it. I'm out of here. Threw her under the bus.
And got away with it. It's an amazing thing.
Yep. To the point where he has been in the Super Bowl, and Janet Jackson,
they won't return her phone calls.
Well, plus she hasn't done anything in quite a few years, but, you know.
Well, allegedly, you know, that's supposedly what killed her career or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of conservatives were up in arms for it. About it to where they
somebody please think of the children.
Yeah, there was a bunch of kids watching, and you know, like, what happened? Why'd they cut camera too quickly right after that? What happened? And I get it, you know, I wouldn't want to be at a strip club and a bunch of linebackers take the stage. So, I mean, keep those worlds separate. But a lot of people are like, oh, we got to censor all of television now. We have to completely censor everything.
Oh, please, TV didn't even get the worst of it.
Radio did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, industry. Like, we didn't have anything to do with Janet Jackson exposing anything on TV, but we got to pay the price for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, didn't Howard Stern say, you know what, screw this, I'm going to Sirius XM. I think it was just XM at that point. But
they're not paying us either way.
Yeah, right around that time. And he finally made the move, I think it was in '06. He was getting censored. Everybody was... I remember some of the talk shows, morning talk shows I would listen to, like, well, we can't talk about that anymore. We can't do that anymore because, you know, Janet Jackson couldn't keep her tatas covered. So I guess happy anniversary to something like that. And then, like, the next year they had, like, did they bring up with people again or something like that?
Probably. I'm sure that no, it wasn't next year they brought it was the Rolling Stones or the Who, wasn't it?
The Who, because the Rolling Stones, that was in the Super Bowl 40 in Detroit, and that was in 08 07 something like that. So that was, but yeah, I think they brought in somebody safe like the Who.
Well, I mean, these days I guess they're pretty about as tame as it would get.
Yeah.
Don't imagine they're stuffing their drums with too many explosives anymore.
Might as well. I mean, that livened up a little bit. Now, you're sure Keith Moon's dead, right? Okay, all right. Bring on the Who. Now, you're sure he's dead, right? He's not doing anything stupid? All right. Okay, just making sure.
The new guy's not a pyro or anything, right?
We saw the cleavage of a woman last time. We just can't have anything like that.
No, by God, we couldn't. The kids would just... Kids like nationwide would just drop out of school and, you know, just turn into lives of crime and drugs and what have you.
Now bring out the cheerleaders.
Exactly. That America.
And then, I mean, you've had some good Super Bowl halftime shows. I mean, we always talk about the Prince one. That was like the
best there ever was and ever will be.
Yeah. I mean, that was a lot of fun. What was it? Aerosmith was on there once when they had, I think Justin Timberlake was involved in that one too. And Britney Spears. What did you think of that one with Dr. Dre? It was like 2 years ago.
I was good with it. I rather enjoyed it.
He was kind of at the mixing board and just kind of bringing out all these acts that he had something to do with. Eminem was involved in it. It was a lot of fun.
50 Cent was like hanging upside down somewhere waiting to... All right, can I sing my line now? I'm going to...
Blood rush into his head. Oh, he's passed out. Moving on.
We're just going to skip that part.
Kendrick Lamar, you're in. Yeah.
No, that was honestly one of the better ones, really, like musically.
Usher is this year, and I mean, if this was like, you know, 20 years ago, I think people would be more excited, but, you know, I mean, that's what it is. I saw Usher open up for Janet Jackson, ironically, over the Joe.
Really?
Yep, I did. So I guess it'll be fine, it'll be okay, but, you know, wouldn't mind getting back to the rock thing. I mean, Metallica would love to do a Super Bowl halftime, and I think they would do quite well.
Right? Like, at some point, you would think you would have to, like, maybe actually throw a bone to that audience again. I don't know. Like, wouldn't the Foo Fighters do it? I mean, they occupy that spot as really the last rock band that like has a popular public, like that the last real rock stars, I guess.
Yes.
They also happen to hold the sphere of being the only rock band that the Grammys know exists.
Yep. Yeah, because
they're nominated for everything this year, you might imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They don't, did we even put out an album? Okay, we're nominated. All right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Cool.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, and then, of course, there's the Weird Al Yankovic thing.
People have been calling for that for years, including, well, our good friend, Lapeer Main Street manager Jim Ault.
Oh, we have. We've said that. Everybody I talk to, they all kind of take a step back. They're like, that would be awesome. Because, I mean, could you imagine him going into some of these songs that he parodied and have, like, the original artist join him? That, I mean, Like a Surgeon, then have Madonna join up?
That'd be the greatest halftime show ever.
That would be a lot of fun.
Like, has he ever even been asked? Has anyone from the NFL gone out there and done the one thing that would possibly unify this oh-so-divided country right now?
Seriously.
And asked Weird Al to play?
Seriously. I think that'd be great. But, I mean, maybe, you know, growing up, maybe he got beat up by a lot of football players and he doesn't want to be in the same proximity.
Where are you going, accordion boy?
Sorry, Weird Al.
Yeah, I should probably put him on the apology list.
But yeah, there's a Go Change or change.org thing every year. I'll have to look on there and see if there's a current.
I'm sure there is. There always is. Like, this is an annual thing, or it's probably been going for probably as long as Change. It was, like, the second petition they put on change.org, I'm fairly certain. like the first one, like, ever.
Yeah. I mean, maybe a big-known country act would be good. A big-known. Big-known, not, you know. Oh, look, Florida-Georgia line. Yay, woohoo.
Except you know that if we get country, it's going to be something like a
Morgan Wallen.
You know that's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be a Morgan Wallen or someone who's not really, like,
Jelly
country.
Roll. Jelly Roll.
Yeah, it's going to be something like that. You're not going to get something that is, like, quote-unquote traditional country.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's not going to happen. It's going to be someone
who... Trap country.
It's, you know, country with a trap beat. You know, like, this probably... You know, I really have gotten to thinking, like, this is probably not the place to address this on the terrestrial side of things, because I'm pretty sure I've heard a Morgan Wallen song or two on WMIC. they're probably rushing the studio there right now with pitchforks and torches
because
we had the audacity to say such things.
The views and expressions of
Happy Hour are not necessarily those of Sanilac Broadcasting Company. Please don't show up to their studios and take this out on them. It's not their fault.
Exactly.
I'm going to just apologize to the corporate overlords over there just to be on the safe side.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Eddie. Hi, Bob.
It's not... They had nothing to do with this.
No.
We want to make that overly abundantly clear.
But you know what? Everybody has their own opinion. They probably have their own opinion of who would make a good halftime show. And of course, then there's like that small group of people who are like, you know what you should have is how about a teacher teaching and inspiring a class? Why don't you put them as a Super Bowl halftime show?
Yeah, there's always that one person that pays attention or participates in class but does not follow directions, isn't there? No, I'm pretty sure our comrades over at Stanley, like, I mean, they're rock guys like we are. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You saw some of the shows that those guys were at over the summer. Eddie would be entirely fine just having like Seven Dust as a headliner for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
I know Nick was over at when Ghost was in concert over the summer at Pine. And they would honestly probably put on a really good show.
They would really put on a good
show. I've seen them live. They do put on a good show. Or even
Alice Cooper.
Cooper.
Yes.
Again, we're getting back into the aging rock star territory. But, I mean, you know he'd put on a show.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely he would.
Like, it would be an entertaining halftime show, if nothing else. I mean, yeah, you don't have, you know, the current pop stars and whatever skimpy get up that they send them out there with now, because, you know, what happened 20 years ago with Janet Jackson, she's still, you know, blacklisted from the industry and from every major thing ever, but now you've got people going out there leaving even less to the imagination.
Yeah, Katy Perry, put on that dental floss and get out there.
Well, one of these years we'll maybe get a good Super Bowl halftime show again. I still hold out some hope for that, but I'm not exactly holding my breath for it either.
No.
We have a lot of stuff to get to today, and most of it doesn't have anything to do with the Super Bowl halftime show. In fact, we have a little bit of Lions news to discuss. It looks like you're running it back with your same coordinators next year. We'll talk about that coming up next. It is Happy Hour. Stick around. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And we have some news regarding your Detroit Football Lions. It's official. You're running it back with both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn next season.
Good.
Washington went and hired Dan Quinn to be their next head coach. You have fun with that dumpster fire. We'll keep our defensive guy who somehow managed to make a passable defense out of basically duct tape and chewing gum last season.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to keep the band together as much as possible because there was a lot of high points in the Detroit Lions season. Did they completely win out? Did they go to the Super Bowl? Did they win? No, of course not. But there's a lot to build on. And everybody's saying it. Yeah, even though the Lions lost against the Niners, who were the superior team all season long, there's something to build on. The football world is now looking at the Lions.
And that hasn't been the case in a long time for anything other than derision, really.
Right.
Yep. And I am glad to see him run it back. Obviously, it's not always possible. Like, that's the problem with being a successful franchise, and I've addressed this a little bit when the Ben Johnson rumor started to pop up last year. Like, part of the thing is, the deal you get into is when you start getting successful, other teams want to poach your guys, which is not necessarily the worst problem to have versus a lot of teams where anyone who comes from that organization is damaged goods. Yeah. Like the Lions up until about 3 years ago.
Right. No, you show a little proficiency. You got a lot of, the coaching carousel wants to absorb them. But that says something about the climate of the Detroit Lions where they want to stay. They want to build. They want to complete what they've been building on. And that goes right to Dan Campbell.
It absolutely does. And you've heard some of the apparent justification around Johnson's coming back. And, well, there's something I want to address about the Glenn retention here coming up in a moment. But as far as Johnson goes, we've now heard this offseason, the rumors came out, particularly from Adam Schefter, like, oh, he wants too much money. Oh, he's trying to drive a hard bargain in all this. He doesn't want to just leave for nothing. And then there was the rumor that the Lions had supposedly upped his pay to retain him. We're now hearing that's not the case. And that we don't necessarily know if the Johnson salary demands, which were rumored to be in the 15 mil a season range, were necessarily true or not either. And this is the thing, you kind of wonder with some of these, if, especially because Adam Schefter is super connected. He is kind of running, like, he's a reporter, but he's also kind of running interference a lot of the time for teams, representatives, and agents, and things of that nature. Like, sometimes he's pushing out something. When he's pushing out some of the information he does, it's because there's somebody out there that wants that information put out publicly. You wonder if someone fed him some false info from inside the Commanders organization. They want it to get out. Oh, he thinks he's too good. He's worth this much money to come coach here. Like, basically kind of trying to smear him a little bit. And for one, I think it's entirely valid if indeed he was trying to get that money. Good on him. I'm not mad at it. Coaching money doesn't count towards the salary cap, to the best of my knowledge.
It does not.
I don't really care if he's trying to get more money. I don't think that makes him
look... I applaud him for wanting to get more money. Absolutely.
I don't think it makes him look bad. I do wonder if that will hurt his chances of getting jobs in the future when you have Shefty putting out things like that that may or may not actually be true. But I thought that was rather interesting. Meanwhile, you hear him saying he just sees more potential here in what's being built here. And I think he senses that this team is really close to winning, dare I say, a Super Bowl. And he wants to be there when it happens. Because that'll make sure that whatever salary demands you have, other teams are matching him. Because let me tell you right now, he's not winning a Super Bowl with the Commanders.
No.
Like, anytime soon. I don't think anyone thinks that. I know a lot of people point to a lot of things on the rise there, but you did unload both of your edge rushers this last offseason. You don't have a franchise QB. Presumably, you're going to take one if there's one to be had in this year's draft. But I don't think it was the great situation that a lot of people really thought it was. And when you look at that and you see here, you were 30 minutes away from going to a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And you see, you know what? I think we can come back here and run that back next year and do it better.
Yep.
It's kind of hard to blame him, though I wouldn't have arguably blamed him if he'd taken the money. But I'm glad to see, nonetheless, that he saw this path. And it makes me personally, makes my confidence level in this squad next year go up significantly, knowing that, okay, this guy is here because he really thinks that we have a shot, that this team has a shot to do something special next year. And that, honestly, I feel like should make Lions fans feel really good about the state of the program going forward.
I do.
And as do I. I feel really good next year. I've set my expectations. I think you absolutely next year win the NFC, make it to the NFC title game again, and maybe this time let's win it. I'd be happy with the NFC title game being played at Ford Field. I think you can, with a few upgrades to your roster, I don't think you're that far away from doing any of these things. Now, let's talk Aaron Glenn for a moment. So, the reaction this week when Johnson was officially retained here, when he pulled out of the coaching search for Washington and Seattle, it was ecstatic. People were just absolutely thrilled. This guy's coming back for another year. Like, you should have heard the calls on talk radio were just ecstatic about it. The posting on Facebook, everyone was universally happy to see this guy stay. I don't feel like we got the same reaction necessarily for Aaron Glenn. I feel like for a lot of people, whereas Johnson was, we got to keep this guy. Hopefully he doesn't leave. We really need him here. The reaction for a lot of people towards Aaron Glenn seemed to fall more towards, if he goes, he goes. If he stays, cool, whatever. I feel like there was a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's fair to him. I feel very much Aaron Glenn deserves his flowers here because you saw what he was working with a lot of this team this season. You didn't have James Houston pretty much all year, your other edge rusher. You basically had Aiden Hutchinson up there, didn't really have a whole great deal of help. A lot of your free agent signings, quite frankly, did not pan out all that well. I would be interested to see what they do with Cam Sutton next year, maybe move him to a position that's a little more fitting for his scheme. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson, you can leave. I am totally fine with that. That, especially after the game on Sunday, where the only thing, all we ask him to do is go out there and, we know you have issues with Deebo Samuel. Just don't go out and take a 15-yard penalty. What does he go and do? He goes out there and takes a 15-yarder for that hit on Deebo.
Yeah.
So, between that and then the waving bye to San Fran fans at the half, already kind of doing the taunting the crowd thing, I don't feel like he's really a fit here. It's one of those where you feel very much like he's putting the needs of his own ego ahead of the needs of the team, and that's not the kind of guy that's going to thrive in a Dan Campbell coach team. I feel like he's gone, and I'm fine with that.
Yep.
Now, but back to Glenn. You got a defensive roster that it sucked. Let's just be honest here. You didn't have a lot of talent in the cupboard. They were pretty bare. And he managed to make that team at times look like, okay, these guys are actually pretty good. We knew the talent just wasn't really there, but he got a lot out of what he had. And I think that's a testament to him that he wasn't the kind of guy that walked in like, okay, here's my scheme, and if you don't fit into it, well, that's a problem. You're just going to have to figure it out, like a certain bearded, pencil-wearing head coach prior. He very much took the guys he had and their relative strengths and weaknesses as much as possible and managed to make the scheme kind of around the guys he had. And I feel like that's the exact thing you want out of a coach in general. I mean, a lot of guys are very inflexible. It's our way. I'm doing this the way that I do it. And if it doesn't work for you, I don't care. I always bring up the example of Mike McDaniel. We know what Tua Tagovailoa is in Miami, and he very much managed his scheme and offense that allowed him to shine with skill players that also allowed him to do what they do, what he does, and then what they do. And there's something to trying to build a scheme around guys versus forcing guys into a scheme. Like, again, we saw that a lot with Patricia when he was here. I don't think Aaron Glenn honestly got the credit that he deserved for what he managed to do with the defense on this team. And I would love to see what he can do next year when hopefully you address some of these glaring needs. Maybe get us another corner or two. Maybe get us a bookend edge rusher for Hutchinson. And see what you can do when you have a few more groceries in the fridge, man. I really think that next year Aaron Glenn can really prove to the Lions fan base at large, who are still not fully buying in, I think he'll be able to prove what it is that he was able to do last year wasn't that it wasn't a fluke. You'll see just how impressive that was that he did what he did with what he had. On that note, let's hit a break. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and it's time for my favorite segment of the week. Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice.
Yay!
Where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. We intercept, and quite frankly, we do a better job of this than the people who get paid to do it for a living. Sure, we may ruin a few lives in the process, but that's showbiz, baby. Let's get right into this, shall we?
Yes.
Dear somebody who cares, this is so difficult to write. I'm a 46-year-old married man and father that has fallen in love with a woman at work that is 20 years younger than I am. We work in separate offices on different teams, but have made a long-distance connection that grew to something serious. Uh-oh. We've told each other how we feel, but having a real relationship is complicated for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
We've never even kissed, but I've considered blowing my life up and moving to another state to be near her. Recently, I learned she's been seeing another man in her office for the last month or two. She didn't mention it, I think, to avoid hurting me, but I could tell something was off. They are closer in age, have similar jobs, and, most importantly, are both single. I'm devastated, much more so than I thought possible. We've talked about it, and while we both have strong feelings for each other, it just seems like the cards are stacked against us. Rationally, I want her to be happy, and it's totally not fair of me to make her feel guilty for moving on with her life, but it hurts so badly. I've never felt like this. I feel like I'm coming apart. Do I let her go and swallow the pain because it's probably what's best for her? Or do I throw away the life I've made to fight for her and a chance at happiness?
This creepy little simp.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's not where I thought you were going with this.
Oh, my God. Okay. He has a crush on somebody. He thinks it's reciprocated, except for now she's dating somebody else. And you have a problem with it, obviously. Okay, fine. But he is married, right?
He's married and they've got kids.
He's got two kids. I knew about the kids. I couldn't remember if you said he was married or not. So he's got a life, and he's lusting over somebody 20 years younger, which, you know, everybody thinks, oh, that'd be really hot. I tried to date somebody who was 16 years younger than me, and it didn't work out. It was just... When she tells you her birth date and you know exactly what you're doing on that day, she's too young for you. I think I had chili for dinner. So he thinks he has this thing going on with somebody he's never kissed, hardly even talks to, just chats with. And now she's dating somebody else and he doesn't know how to feel. Well, you know what? You should know how to feel. Back off. She's dating somebody who is single, close to her age. It sounds like it's such a one-sided thing that if we were to talk to her, she'd probably be thinking, oh, Terry? Oh, Terry's a good, decent guy. He's just a guy I talk to every once in a while. I think we went to lunch once.
Yeah.
He made me pay or whatever. And then
she has no idea probably that he has this, that he's carrying this torch for her.
Zero idea. And he's probably afraid to tell her because then he's afraid that she's going to shoot him down.
Because she probably will, because you're a creepy old man.
Yeah, you are an older man, and some women are into that, but she clearly isn't. She is with somebody, and you're with somebody, if you haven't looked at your left hand in a long time, and you have two kids, and you're actually thinking about blowing that up to fight for somebody who does. You're not even 100% sure wants you. First of all, if she wanted you, there's no fighting involved.
Well, he claims that they had talked about it and that she does have those same feelings, but it was probably, I'm going to be charitable here and assume the best case scenario is like, yeah, I do like you. I have feelings for you, but you're married.
You're married, dude.
And that's the other thing. Like, he's talking about chasing away this chance at happiness. Like, look, the first thing you clearly need to do is file for divorce from your wife because you obviously have no interest in maintaining that relationship. Yeah. You're clearly done with her. You don't see yourself ever being happy with her the way you're talking about this. Like, this is your last chance to ever be happy.
Yes.
The least you can do is just not drag this out for her any longer.
See, now, once, finally, I agree with you on that. Yeah, you should not dump the wife. You should cut her free so she can find somebody who wants to be with her. And it'd be better off if you were to leave the kid's mother because you fell out of love. As opposed to, hey, look, your stepmom, yeah, she's 5 years older than you guys. But you know what? Hey, I think you're all make it work.
I'm glad I finally brought you around to the dark side. I just cut off all contact.
This time. You can't cut off all contact with your kid's mama.
I mean, that's fair, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad you finally admitted, after years of doing this bit, that I am absolutely right on this, and you should absolutely leave her.
Because it's just you actually made sense this time.
Like, it's clearly I think I make sense every time I
hear you. Happy hour. Me and my wife can't decide on what presets on the radio. Dump her! Get rid of her! Stop at the next red light, get out of the car and run!
You don't need that kind of negativity in your life.
Dear happy hour, I like spearmint, she likes peppermint. What should I do? Leave her! You and your peppermint loving...
This relationship can never work. It's never going to work. It doesn't matter. You don't even try.
What? She's on Android and you're on iPhone? It's never going to work. You can't live in a red bubble, a blue bubble, and a green bubble chat room.
You know, you make that joke, but apparently there's a lot of people now that are making that decision to pass on somebody based on the kind of phone they have. I don't understand that. Yeah. It's clearly an iPhone user thing because they think it's superior to everybody.
It's you can show commitment, and you have to
show commitment to what? To paying a massive fee every month for that phone?
Yes, and you can afford it. You can afford that massive fee.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like Androids are any less. Implying less expensive, quite frankly.
I love my Boost Mobile. $35 a month, done.
It also doesn't work half the time. He finds himself with all these ads that it's like, oh, congratulations, you're the millionth visitor to this website. Click here for your Amazon gift card.
That happened 5 times today, and I feel blessed.
You know, I have you ever considered using an ad blocker, Adam?
My name is Adam, and I don't think that I'm afraid that they're going to block me.
Well, maybe it would be for the best if they did. Anyway, the point to all of this was...
Well, I forgot.
Leave her. You're clearly in a loveless marriage. You're never going to feel that way about your wife again. You've basically said that my only chance of happiness is to leave behind the life I have and chase after some 20 years younger than me woman who's in a relationship with another dude now who actually lives near her and not across the country like I do.
Yeah.
Like,
this guy sounds like a pathetic simp.
I agree. No cap, I guess.
Yeah, no cap. Yeah, I mean, set your wife free to find somebody who...
Loves her?
Who
actually loves her and cares about her?
Who's trolling after somebody... Who's not trolling after somebody who 20 years... They're freshman, senior, younger,
whatever. They're junior.
They're junior,
yeah. That's what it would be.
Yeah, those are freshmen.
They're freshmen. Oh, my God.
They're 20 year, they're fourth grader. No.
It's okay. Yeah. Adam doesn't understand how words work.
Words are fun. They're challenging.
Words are hard.
Yeah.
So before I get you in more trouble here, let's move on to the next one, shall we?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Dear, please not Sean and Adam. Don't let them intercept this. My partner and I are planning to buy our first car together. Our finances are joint, and the car would be a joint purchase. But there's a catch. My partner never learned to drive, doesn't have a license, and isn't particularly interested in getting one. And put a pin in that, because we got to talk about that here in a minute.
Yeah.
In discussing what kind of car we want to get, it's clear we have different preferences. I'd rather get a smaller car that's cheaper, easier to park, and more fuel efficient. My partner likes an SUV because he feels safer and also likes sitting higher off the ground. He's gone so far to say as if I insist on a smaller car, he won't travel in it. How much say does the non-driver have in a joint household car purchase? To further complicate, I am the primary breadwinner in our family while my partner finishes school.
Well, here is a situation where you have entered into a love affair with somebody who makes less money than you. That doesn't mean that you lord over the roost. Do they feel safer in a vehicle? Then you should take that into account. I mean, it would be frustrating considering, like, I want to buy something that it's easier for me to drive since I'll be driving it. But I mean, they should, if they're paying straight down the middle, 50-50, it doesn't matter how much money you make and how much money they make. If it's 50-50, that's all you need to worry about. If they're worried about, you know, if they're going to be a passenger and they want to be, they want to have some sort of say on how they feel riding in a car, I think they should have every right.
So I'm not quite sure how to tell you this, dear letter writer, but you're dating a child. There's no two ways around this. You are dating a child. Oh, I don't want to get a license. I don't want to be able to drive for myself. I don't want to be actually self-sufficient and be able to do things without you having to cart me around like you're my mother. You're dating a child, and that should have been your first red flag in this relationship.
Yep.
Dump him.
Yep.
Dump him. Yep. And no.
Once again...
And once again, I'm right.
We could sum up this whole bit in like 3 minutes. What should I do? Dump him. Moving on.
But here's the thing. I'm right.
Yeah.
Because you're clearly going to always be in a place, or at least for the near future, where you're basically coddling this man.
Yes.
You're basically having to do everything for him. I'm amazed, quite frankly, that you're not actually being made to clean up after him while he sits at home and plays Call of Duty or whatever.
Yeah,
like, you're dating a man-child.
I'm hearing you, and I agree with you 80% of the time in this situation. But what we're seeing, and this has been a long-growing faction of our country, there are some people that just don't want a driver's license.
And I don't understand
those people. I don't either. I couldn't wait to get a driver's license.
Okay.
I couldn't wait to drive.
So,
but there's some people out there that just don't want it. They don't want the scariness of it, or because some people
are too scary to drive. Good Lord, grow up, would you?
Right. And they say, you know, I know quite a few people who don't want driver's licenses, and then those same people, you know, they
need a ride everywhere.
They spend their time, you know, being able to memorize all the Pokemon that are out there, or, you know, Magic
the like
Gathering or
that,
something. Like
that Venn diagram is a circle.
Yeah,
that Venn diagram is absolutely a circle.
But,
I mean, better apologize to Magic players and Pokemon players.
Pokemon. Yeah, apologize to Pokemon. We don't want them all coming after us, because we wouldn't be able to name them.
Right, we wouldn't.
And I want to know the name of my killer.
Exactly.
What are you, Squirtle? I'm Pokemon. Name
Pikachu.
Another Pokemon. Pikachu. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sean, for helping me out.
The name. Yeah, it's a Pokemon. Just name Pokemon.
Yeah, there's somebody yelling at us. Oh, what about, you know.
You can't name another one.
Strap on a Thor. What about... Yeah, level 12 damage. Anyway, those people are out there. It's unfortunately to us, but I mean, if those people don't feel safe on the road, I guess don't be on the road, because then maybe that will help curb highway fatalities.
So here's my counter to that. I guess, look, if you are living somewhere like where I grew up in Detroit, if
sure.
you're living down there in the city
with public transportation,
you have access to public transportation and things are within like a couple blocks of you, like
right.
all your basic needs and essentials, okay, that's fine.
Okay.
That's understandable. I get that. If you live outside of that, if you live like further in a more rural area, a place where basically you have to rely on other people.
Yeah.
And, like, not even, like, we're talking buses and things, like, where you have to rely on your friends or your partner or whatever to take you places because, oh, driving's too scary. You're a child.
I'm hearing you.
I mean, they probably shouldn't be driving because they also probably be terrible at it, but but the point remains.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hearing you, and you're bringing up some great... I agree with you. For most of it, but in regards to this current letter where we're going in halvesies on this vehicle.
Never says half. I mean, it's a quote-unquote joint account, but
sure.
Remember, she's making all the money. He doesn't contribute at all. So technically, it's all her money, and quite frankly, he who pays the bills makes the rules.
Well, okay, that actually fits into my next narrative. Because I would like to bring up the fact, like, let's bring it back to like the 1940s and stuff like that, where car commercials, vehicles were all geared towards the men as the driver, but they also would move on to ladies. You have a makeup mirror right there. You can do that. They also geared towards the passenger. So, yeah, I know gender roles have been blurred since the 70s, 80s, 90s, up until now.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, we don't have commercials. Yeah, you have this convenient mirror in your car to put on your makeup because your entire self-worth is wrapped up in your appearance, ladies.
Yeah, that was the 40s, 30s, 40s. I mean, that's what it was. We can laugh about it now, but that's kind of – make sure you look pretty on that date while he's driving you around. And when he runs out of gas, you know it's fun time. No, block that out. But the point still stands. I mean, yeah, okay, now you have a situation where you have a growing number of people who don't want a driver's license, regardless of gender. They should be able to have some sort of say in an investment, whether it's 50-50, 60-40, 70-30.
Quite frankly, it's 100-0, though. Again, like I said, joint account, but when she's paying all the bills and bringing in all of the income, as she says in the letter,
the lion's share, I believe in the letter, they have a joint. If the writer is paying for it outright, well, then yeah, I mean, that's
he who pays the bills makes the rules,
yeah, kind of. But I mean, if this, I'm taking it at face value because it sounds like they make more money. The writer makes more money, and the passenger. Does, I mean, it makes less, obviously. But they're the way I understood it, they were entering into to pay for it 50-50. That's the way I understood it. If that is the case, then that person should be able to say, hey, listen, if I'm going to be part owner of a vehicle, I should have some sort of say into what vehicle. Even if it's 60-40, let's go 70-30. You're driving it. I should be able to feel safe in the vehicle that I'm in. I should be able to feel comfortable.
Well, yeah, we're going to be safe in the vehicle. You're not driving.
Why are you driving so fast? Slow down. When you drive like hell, you'll get there. I don't know. It's another situation, and we do this every Friday. We always lament the fact that if we were able to get these people on the phone and talk to them, and get more of a backstory of what's going on, it'd make things so much easier. But at face value, I mean, there's a lot of questions. How much is the writer contributing? How much is the significant other contributing?
Like I said,
are they both going to be on the title? Are they both going to be on the insurance? Because you got to talk about that too.
Well, he's not going to be on the insurance, obviously, because he's never going to drive it. Like, the only thing that the insurance company cares about
drivers, yeah.
Okay. Is the actual licensed drivers, sure, that are going to be, you know, piloting this vehicle.
Gotcha.
So that being said, like, if for some reason, like, I'll bring it to my situation, Rachel makes a decent amount of money and I work in radio.
Right.
So if she were to go out and buy a car,
pink. You'd be like, all right, thank you. I guess I'll drive this.
I mean, the difference obviously being is that, you know, I am a functioning adult and can drive a car. But that said, if she were to go out and make that purchase and it's the majority of her money going to it, like, and I don't like the car she brings back, it's a sedan or a minivan or something like that, like, yeah, I can not be happy about it. But ultimately, I don't feel like I really get the choice in that matter because, you know what? As long as the thing's not a screaming metal death trap, you make that purchase.
But, okay, that's a good point. Let's talk about that. What if she does bring in a screaming metal death trap? Because the writer is saying, the significant other says, I want to be in something that I can feel safe in, driving, passenger, otherwise. you're saying if it's not screaming metal jazz, well, let's say if she brings in, you know,
if she buys a 95 Dodge Neon where the tie rod ends are going and then its Ramley just shuts off when you're driving down the freeway, yes, then yes, I think you should absolutely be able to have.
She just walks out. Look what I got. Slams a hood. Half of it tilts over. It's like, I've always wanted one of these.
Like, then yes, you should absolutely exercise some veto power. But again, we're talking about a guy who doesn't even know how to drive. So he probably would, oh yeah, this looks totally fine. He'd probably be the guy that picks out the screaming metal death trap because he doesn't know what to look for because he can't even drive.
Tilted to one side, he'd be like, I can't even get in it.
That would be a bigger complaint. Like, not the fact that the car's falling apart on him.
Does this car have Wi-Fi?
So,
I can't. Can we play Pokemon Go? I'm done.
So the moral of the story here is really you should just dump this guy and get someone who can actually contribute in life. Anyway, stick around. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and I want a second opinion on that last bit.
Sure.
Rachel, my lovely and talented wife, who is otherwise indisposed and not working today, we rope her into this mess. And I kind of want her take on this whole thing. Sure. So, basically, unsolicited advice, last segment. A woman is trying to buy a new car. Her partner doesn't drive. He also doesn't work. And he wants input as to what car they should get, a sedan, SUV, whatever. And basically, she's paying the bills. It's a joint account, but she's the one with the job. And he thinks he should have input into what the car is. Now, tell this man that he's absolutely wrong, that no, the dude should have no input in this whatsoever.
Okay, time out. Before you tell me I'm wrong, doesn't the letter say that, it doesn't say that the writer is paying for everything. It says that the writer makes more money than the other person.
It's a joint account, but it says that she's the primary breadwinner because the partner is going to school. Like, I'm not entirely sure he works.
Gotcha.
So is the car for her, like, mainly?
The other person can't drive, doesn't have a license, okay. Doesn't want to get one.
Well, then, yeah. You're not using it anyway. It's none of your business.
But well, they are in the sense that they're going to be a passenger. Now, I brought up, and maybe this is an awkward reach, but I'm talking about, like, 1940s and 50s when they didn't really consider women to be drivers. They considered women to be passengers. But the car companies would also cater to the promotion would be towards the women about the comfort, the luxury, the accoutrements of, like, a makeup mirror. And so they thought about, you know, the passengers just as much as they have the drivers.
I mean, maybe, but she's not a car company. I mean, the car's for her. She's buying it, right? He's not driving it. I mean, I don't want to ask you if you like riding in my car. Would I buy a car?
Just be lucky I'm giving you a ride and shut your face. Actual quote from Rachel, actually, last time she drove us somewhere. So you had something. I just really wanted to bring her into that real quick because I'm just irrationally worked up about that whole thing.
I want you to send me that letter again because I want to read that again. I'm pretty sure that it sounded like, at least when you read it, I took it as they were, I mean, the writer was paying the lion's share. I don't think, but anyway, I digress.
See, I grew up with only one parent that had a job. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. Only my dad worked. And they would, you know, they would pick out cars together. But my mom also had a driver's license and used the car.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
To me, that's the deal breaker. If he was going to drive it and use it, it'd be different.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at on it. Like, if you're not going to drive it at all, if you're not even going to drive, period, I don't give you that much.
I mean, so you don't consider the people riding the car as using a vehicle?
I mean, my parents never asked my opinion when they bought cars, and I was riding
in
their car.
Thank you. That is exactly where I was going to go next. Like, the passenger doesn't get to have input. I didn't get to have input on the cars that my parents bought. Mm-hmm. And this person is, quite frankly, using their partner basically like their mother anyway. So,
right.
I'm sorry. Like I said, I am irrationally, like, that last letter made me rashly angry, and I needed to get an outside perspective on it.
Gotcha.
So anyway, you had something interesting over there.
This happened last week. Comedian Mark Norman, who I love stand-up comedy, and I think he's okay. He's got a Netflix special.
I'm not overly familiar.
He, He comes across as a very dry comic, but he's actually pretty funny. Well, he was rushed off stage last week during a show in New York. Wednesday, January 25th, he was at a New York Comedy Club, and it's all on video. You guys can check it out. There's like one F word, so we're not gonna play it. But if you see the video, what happens is he's doing his bit. This guy gets up on stage and he looks discombobulated. He looks like
he's probably high.
That's kind of what's going on. And he's up there, and almost immediately, security doing their job comes and ushers him off the stage. And Norman trying to be when you're on stage like that, you are kind of, whether you like it or not, you are the voice of reason. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Well, he's being taken off stage, and he's being tased. I don't think he was being tased, but Norman was trying to be funny. He was trying to keep things lighthearted and keeping everybody at even keel. Nobody panic. So then security comes and takes Mark Norman off stage. And you can kind of see his face. I've never seen Mark Norman in a movie, so I don't think he's that good of an actor. But he looked shook.
I very much feel like, I mean, because he went really willingly, like he was waiting for the cue to walk off stage.
Yeah, he was. Well, because it was, like
I said, he's
awkward,
not that good an actor.
It was an awkward moment. He's like, oh, okay, let's go. And then all of a sudden, now you have the producer of the show or something like that, and she is visibly shook. And she's like, okay, I need you guys to get up. No, stay. Get up. No, stay. She did not know what to do. Somebody else comes up, and he comes up and says, I need everybody to get out. Not in an orderly fashion, everybody scaring everybody out of this. Now, we live in a situation where not too long ago, Dave Chappelle had somebody jump on stage at the Hollywood Bowl who was a homeless person who had a knife attack Dave Chappelle. And luckily nothing happened, but we also have the famous Will Smith and Chris Rock. We've seen video of like a comic saying something that they don't like, and somebody in the audience doesn't like, and they throw a beer, or people jumping up on stage. I mean, the whole Dimebag Darrell thing happened December 8th of 2004.
Yeah, like
that kind of stuff happens. Come to find out, people who rented out the club to like make this all happen, unbeknownst to everybody, it was all for a gag. It was all for an online thing. Someone at High High, filming by At High High, the producers that rented out the venue. So I can only think of like Bo Rat movies. I can think of like Impractical Jokers on a lesser level.
And about as funny?
Yeah, kind of.
Apologize the Impractical Jokers.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess Bo Rat, I guess. But, I mean, it's that whole thing where, okay, I want to get unsuspecting people in on my comedy, but was it really comedy? They say you have freedom of speech until you yell fire in a movie theater. So now you have a situation where people were generally concerned. Some of them were terrified. You know, what was going on? And it was all for likes. It was all for video. We have talked about on the show many times on how deplorable some of those people are, how they just go and disrupt other people's lives and destroy things just for likes. And this is a classic case. I mean, how do comedy clubs fix this? I mean, it sounds like the comedy club was maybe behind it, but the people involved in it didn't sound like it. Mark Norman, he says, I knew nothing about this.
Which seems rather unlikely. If you're working for whatever promoter, producer, whatever they want to call it, is booking the show, I find it hard to believe that he has had no knowledge that any of this sort of thing was going to happen.
Yeah, the club owner, I think, knew what was going on and didn't tell Norman, didn't tell his management or anything like that. But, I mean, how scary is that? Where you could be, I mean, it's irresponsibility of these people because let's get real. How rambunctious can we get? How irresponsible can we get? Let's keep pushing the envelope. How soon is it going to be where, you're at a sporting event and somebody starts walking around like acting like they're going to shoot up the place? Or you're going to be, somebody's going to be acting like a terrorist. I mean, those people, they run the risk of being dead. But I mean,
and there's a lot
where
of
do you draw the line?
Oh, and there's a lot of people that do that even outside of the comedy sphere, like, there was a case not too long ago where you actually had a guy
who like was going after this guy for a YouTube video, like just a guy who's just delivering a pizza or something, and this dude comes up, one guy's filming him, the other one's like getting in his face, and I believe he ended up stabbing the guy and ended up not getting charged for it because you could make an actual self-defense argument there. There's been a few of those where people think, oh, well, wouldn't it be funny if I go and do this, and then someone stabs him or shoots him or beats him up or whatever. In some cases, some people have ended up dead because of it, and it really seems to fall under the category of play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a favorite video of some kid walking around with a PVC pipe over Home Depot and putting it like right behind somebody's ear and making a humming noise, and he did it to the wrong person. This person did a reverse chokehold on this kid and threw him down to the ground. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. He's like, well, you're not laughing now, are you? And I think that's fantastic.
There is one, some dude who's walking around with one of those VR headsets around a store, and
yes,
won't get out of the guy's way, and he's talking all like drugged out. You're in my play space or whatever. So the guy actually just smacks the headset off of this kid's head.
See, now,
word hero is really not thrown around. It's thrown around a lot these days.
As much as I applaud that, you talk to any lawyer, and once, you know, if the person says, I'm not going to move, they're not violating any law. But as soon as somebody hits somebody, they're violating law.
Tactically, he didn't hit the dude.
Yeah,
just smacked the headset off him. He didn't even actually hit the dude, so he ended up getting charged or anything.
I mean, it's just, where is a line going to be drawn where people are, I don't want to be inconvenienced because somebody wants to make a funny video. I don't want to be inconvenienced or feel like my life is threatened because at a comedy show. We've gone to comedy shows all together.
Oh, a lot, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to feel like my life's in danger because somebody wants to put together a funny video. I mean, that this is dangerous. This at high high or whatever, they need to be brought up on charges for terrorism. Maybe that's a little extreme, but
that maybe a tad bit, but I think absolutely, like, something should happen to them for doing that. Like, that's not something that we can just allow or should allow to happen. Like, just people who think that everyone around them are just props for their social media clout.
Yeah, all these people will love it. I'm sorry, what?
The main character syndrome, something people are talking about now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard something about that where they think that they're the main character and everybody's a supporting character. And as soon as they see themselves on screen, they'll love it. Mm-hmm. They'll enjoy it. And it's a scary thing because where does it end, you know?
So as it turns out, actually, let's go ahead and hit a break here. I do have a little bit more on this, on these people that perpetrated this particular stunt,
okay,
if you're interested.
Yep.
It's happy hour. Back after this.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. It's that time of the week. It's time for the pit. Oh, wait. There's no football this week. I mean, I guess there's a Pro Bowl, so, well, there's no football this week. So, I looked in a little more into that thing you were talking about in the last segment.
And Mark Norman being escorted off stage at a New York comedy club. And kind of a alerting the crowd.
So he might not have actually known about it. So this has been a thing. This group has been putting on these kind of stunts at other places. Like, they apparently showed up, I guess, to a New York Knicks game and had Tyra Banks get ambushed by a pair of like furries, like people in like mascot costumes. So that was also a thing that happened that they were responsible for.
Uh-huh.
And apparently all this ties into this weird Instagram page, which their bio is something like, what is it? What would you risk it all to have it all? Then DM us, hi. So as it turns out, these posts and things of theirs were getting shared by one Donald Glover. You may remember him from Community or his rap career, or there's a show he's doing on FX that I forget the name of.
Excuse me. He was on Solo. He was on a Star Wars movie.
I forgot about that because I don't pay attention to Star Wars. But apparently he was sharing a bunch of their stuff. So
I'm done. I'm out.
As it turns out, this all ties into a TV show. It's all basically guerrilla marketing for a promotion for a TV show that is going to be debuting on a streaming service. Quite frankly, I'm not giving them the name of the show or the streaming service because they don't deserve the publicity.
No. No, absolutely not.
But yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like this. Like, you remember a few years back, I think it was in Boston, where there was a bomb or something, what they thought was a bomb, and as it turns out, it had this little light-up thing of, like, these characters from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and it turns out it was, like,
yes,
Adult Swim promoting their movie that they were basing
and
on the show.
And this was right after the Boston
marathon bombing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
That is so irresponsible.
Yeah. So this is apparently something kind of similar, this kind of, like, underground guerrilla marketing thing.
Yeah.
To bring attention to some TV show that you probably weren't going to watch.
And you know what?
How are people not getting...
The sick thing is, they are going to get viewers.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's our irresponsibility, but there's a lot of shows talking about this that's given them the publicity that they want. But it's going to end badly. Because right there on their Instagrams, what would you do to risk it all for some fame? So one of these guys are going to get killed. And everybody's going to be like, oh, how terrible. But the person who kills him, I'm going to be like, I felt as if my life was in danger. Mm-hmm. I mean, had Mark Norman had a knife and stabbed this guy, God forbid.
Assuming that he knew what was going on, like we don't.
He claims he had no knowledge.
I'm not convinced, though, because like a lot of people have been denying, you know, involvement in some of these things. So, I don't know. Like, it could really go either way. And apparently, whoever it was that's responsible for this show was also the promoter for the show. So.
I think the At High High and the club were in cahoots, but they didn't tell Norman. They probably want his genuine reaction. Well, what if his genuine reaction was to stab him in the jugular? Mm-hmm. What would happen? Oh, that's terrible. Mark Norman should be charged for murder. No, he should not have. I mean, you never know in this day and age of what's going to go on, and it's going to happen. It is going to happen in this year where somebody is going to get killed trying to do this viral thing, and maybe that'll put a stop to it.
I don't know if it would, because, I mean, it's already happened. Like, there have been people that have done things like this. I think one guy who's like, wouldn't it be crazy if I just busted out a knife on people in public and actually did end up... And it was just someone who was like a YouTube goober, and he ended up getting killed for it. Like, it does, wow. It has happened, and it's still not enough for these people not to do it.
Yeah. Jeez.
People will do literal anything for their 15 minutes of social media fame or whatever.
As opposed to next week when Sean and I will be busted into Sanilac Broadcasting as clowns and shooting confetti cannons all over the place. It's going to be fun. And make sure you hit it, like, and subscribe.
We're going to make sure we do it live during Swap Shop, too.
Yeah, there you go.
So you'll get to hear all the fun if you tune in Monday afternoon.
I got three bags of manure to swap.
Oh, that's a surefire way to end our radio careers if ever there was. On that note, we do have to kind of atone for this week's sins, and Lord knows there were many. There were very many. On that note, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Keith Moon, Weird Al, Eddie Fury, Nick Lean, iPhone users, Magic players, Pokemon Go players, women in general, Mark Norman, and Practical Jokers. We're sorry! If we're ever allowed in that building again, quite frankly, it'll be a miracle. We promise we'll maybe think about doing more sports stuff again next week. But to be fair, I mean, it's Pro Bowl weekend, which means there's, well, no football happening other than the flag football game, which, I mean, nice of them to finally officially codify that it is, in fact, flag football when it's always been played that way. NHL's an all-star break, so no hockey. So I get basketball, I guess. Oh, wait, that's right. Our teams are garbage. Pistons aren't good. Michigan ain't doing that great, and neither is State. Oh, well, I guess we'll just have to drink our sorrows away and watch some old hockey fights or something. That seemed like a...
Adam approves of that. I was like, yeah, that's, I'm thinking that's what we're going to do after the show today, just sit in the garage and watch hockey fights. On that note, stick around. A full hour of local original music comes your way next. Lori and the Darlings are Adam's guest tonight on Sessions. All being well, talk to you Monday at 3. See ya.